from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Outside the Frame trains homeless and marginalized youth to be directors of their own films and lives. Their annual gala showcases a collection of short films by and about invisible communities in plain sight, young Honduran trans women who walk to Oregon, houseless folks forced to migrate in their hometown, and much more. Again, that's Outside the Frame Migration on Thursday, November 7th from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla! Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class. Here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Retirees Union and the current president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Tonight, I'm joined by...
Hi, I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell, the Vice President of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unions, and I'm also a retired international representative from the UAW in Detroit, and I'm also present CEO of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
Good evening, listeners. This is Deborah Hall with the American Federation of Teachers, and I'm also the current Secretary-Treasurer for the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unions.
So tonight, our interview is with Tom Chamberlain, the recently retired president of the Oregon AFL-CIO. Brother Chamberlain served in this position for 14 years. Welcome to our show, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, we really appreciate you interrupting your your retirement to come back and talk to us one last time.
I have such a busy schedule, you know.
Okay, let's get right into it. During your tenure, one of your accomplishments while you were in charge of the AFL is that you restructured the relationship between the AFL-CIO and local union leaders to add value to the work of the affiliates and what they were engaged in on work on behalf of their members. How did you do that?
Well, you have to remember, 14 years ago, we were in the middle of a split. There was a split in the labor movement, and it was a split over how we organize. And we lost about 40% of the labor movement, went off and formed their own federation and tried to do something different. What that meant in the state of Oregon is we lost 65,000 members. So wow. I was elected. I came in because the then president resigned. And so I came in with a broken Fed, so to speak, gave layoff notices to all our folks. And it really required me to go around and talk to every single affiliate. And you know, I'm a firefighter. I wasn't involved in the AFL that much. Mm-hmm. I was busy running my state. I had a state organization, Local 43 here in Portland. And so that was my focus. But as I went out and I started talking to different affiliate leaders and affiliate members, I discovered that each union was unique. Each union had its own culture, but they were all trying to accomplish the same thing. And so we came up, which in itself made us a really tight Fed. Those of us that were left. And then I really sat down and I started thinking about it. Why does the Fed exist? The only reason we exist is for the affiliates. See, we're not an organization of members. Right. Our affiliate are organizations of members. We're an organization of leaders.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
And all so right. We only exist because the affiliates, the unions in the state of Oregon want us to exist.
Right, okay.
So if you get to that point, it's not a quantum leap to say, well, our program should complement what the affiliates are doing.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's why you saw us do some things like stop giving money to candidates and political party and invest in our ground game. And y'all been involved in our campaigns, right?
Yes. Right,
and it's the biggest ground game in the state. because that's where we focused. And we have a big ground game, therefore our affiliates don't have to.
Sure.
There's not a duplication in work.
Yeah. Okay.
We did the same thing with organizing. We brought mm-hmm. in organizing directors and executive directors of affiliates and presidents mm-hmm. and talked about what would an organizing program look like? What uh-huh. would we do to complement your organizing? First thing they said was get a researcher on staff, and we did.
Yeah.
And that is the most popular component of the organizing program.
Right.
And then we started bringing folks together and talking about organizing projects and targets, and actually did some direct organizing. We organized OSEA, Head Start workers out at Mount Hood.
Right.
Paratransit for ATU.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We fought down the legislature to stop Uber and Lyft from preempting local governments from enacting taxi
gotcha.
Or Lyft driver boards, which we now have in the city of Portland, and
sure.
it's an active. And one of the co-chairs of that is Alma Rhea, who is organizer for the Oregon AFL-CIO, and has been working with Lyft
nice.
And Uber drivers. So the whole thing is, it's not just about folks who have a union card.
Mm-hmm.
To me, those are the most fortunate people on the face of the planet, because they have, you know, they can come together and they have strength. But when you start looking at Lyft and independent contractors, they're sort of out there by themselves.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And what this does, sounds like this board keeps them on the same playing field as regular taxi drivers.
It's more than that. What it allows them to do is they don't have a means to address rate setting. They don't have a means for grievances or working conditions.
I see.
And now they can take it to the board.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Right?
Good.
And there's a grievance process within the board. There's an ombudsman who takes on the grievance, makes a recommendation, and if the grievant disagrees with the outcome, they can appeal to the board, and then the board makes recommendations to city council.
Okay. Amazing. So, of the things that you were able to accomplish in your 14 years, what was the proudest moment?
Well, I have so many proud moments.
I figured as much.
So many proud moments, but I'm sort of a structure guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really interested in developing structures and things that last. For example, when we had the split, the structure of state feds and central labor councils,
mm-hmm.
Were established in 1955 when the AFL and the CIO come together.
Uh-huh.
And
mm-hmm.
one of the things I noticed was the Oregon AFL-CIO was really hampered.
Yeah.
We were a Portland metro labor movement.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
right.
What I'm proudest of is restructuring the Oregon AFL-CIO to create CLCs, became chapters, which
yeah.
are accountable
yeah.
to the AFL.
Mm-hmm.
It allowed us to put staff in the three major metropolitan areas outside of Portland, where you
mm-hmm.
have shared staff in Eugene and Salem and Medford and Bend.
Mm-hmm.
40% of all our volunteer shifts at the last election occurred in those regions.
Wow.
When AFSCME went on strike 2 years ago in
sure.
Lane County for 2 weeks,
right.
guess what? They got our staff, and they coordinated events and worked with our community groups through Oregon Strong Voice, which is, as you know, is that table where
right.
community and labor come together.
Right.
That is strength. That is
yes.
power, and nobody in the state of Oregon can replicate that.
That is really sweet. And what it also does for the members, it's a constant reminder that they're not in this fight by themselves.
That's right. And that's really important. And I think all three of you were at the convention.
Yeah.
And that was a great convention.
I
mean, the solidarity was amazing. But that whole notion that affiliates look after their members, but when we come together as the AFL-CIO, we are the Oregon Union Movement.
Yeah, right.
And we can accomplish great things,
yeah.
such as marching on Fred Meyers
right.
and making sure
Holy
we
cow,
fix the gap
right,
for
yeah.
women
mm-hmm.
workers,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then marching through the streets of Astoria
yeah.
for those, you know,
for
those
nurses
were an inch from going on strike.
Right.
And because we did that, they didn't go on strike.
Yeah.
But that's
mm-hmm.
the strength of a federation and a movement.
I just want to make a comment here, coming out of retired from the International UAW. Your leadership, not knowing that people were watching you and being followers, it poured into other people And I just want to say it while she's sitting here, because we have a really great president of the CBTU. Now I see where her leadership skills, you know, when I came here from Detroit, I looked for union, and I found her. And I can see where she got it from, a lot of things she's saying, because you have to be under somebody who's a strong. So first, I want to thank you for your leadership. I hope you don't disappear. But I thank you for your leadership. It has boiled over into us. Right. You know, as a CBTU member, as women, as union sisters, as we support the community. I mean, so I want to thank you personally. Want to thank you for your leadership. Yes. We are who we are because of great leadership. And thank you. So please don't disappear.
I'm not going to disappear. And I wish I could claim all the credit for Tina, but I can't, because she had an army of mentors. But when you're talking about women leaders right now, we have so many strong women leaders in the labor movement. And I think it really, to me, it blossomed under this Fix the Gap, where Fred Meyers was paying women workers less than men.
Right.
And that OWL program, which is a program designed specifically for women leaders. And don't get in front of them, and don't try to control them, because they're going to do their thing, and they should. They took that and just brought it up a whole 2, 3, 4 different notches. When they started doing flash mobs at Fred Meyers, that got folks' attention, and it went viral. And it's not, they didn't just throw that together. They planned it, and they marched on the boss, and they did that. And they did that as a federation of women leaders. And I believe that in the next 5 to 10 years, the whole labor movement is going to be changed. You're going to have these great women leaders. We're going to bring on more women leaders. You're seeing the Oregon AFL-CIO executive board becoming more diverse, which brings different ideas. And I think there's a lot of things that have pushed that in Oregon. And one of those things, and it's not really, hasn't always been that popular, but I felt that it was extremely important to break out of the mode of what are workers' issues. You know, in 1977, when I became a firefighter and when I got involved in the union, it was wages, hours, and working conditions, and don't focus on anything else because it's controversial and you lose the membership. Well, we'll lose our membership if we don't focus on LGBTQ and issues of color and all those things. You know, that's what we have. Immigration. You know, it's like every issue that impacts a worker, whether it's union or non-union, that's our spot.
That's right.
That's where history wants us to be, because if we don't speak for them, who will?
And part of the reason is because the workforce is changing, and no longer can you just compartmentalize that part of your life and set it off to the side, because these days it's a part of you, and so it's difficult to do that.
And you also have this sort of dynamic where you have young, aggressive leaders that are really trying to change old, outmoded unions, and so the membership are saying, if we're not going fast enough, but the leader's trying to do everything they can to make things happen. So everybody be patient with each other, but let's get it done. Let's not stop pushing, because if we stop pushing, we'll lose decades in the process.
You know, another example of that seed that you planted in the mindset of people, because we got a Hispanic president of the AFT. You know, I mean, just those things you're saying is some real truth to it. It's some real life. You put in the spirit, you put in the mindset of people to look beyond and accept, and don't reject, you know, and to bring together, you know. So, I mean, while we're here, you know, what you're saying is there's some truth to it, because we're seeing the aftermath of it all. So I just want to bring that to our attention again.
It's important.
Yeah. Well, Tom, and in the 14-year period, are two things that really stand out to me, is that Oregon AFL went out, Working America, stroke of genius to bring in folks that are not in a union to get involved in the labor movement, because they do work. They are part of the labor movement with or without a union. And then also, Oregon AFL provided us this opportunity that we're sitting here now, because you all planted those seeds, you fertilized, and you watered us for the constituency groups, okay?
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
And it's important not to just water the seeds, but give folks an opportunity to be engaged in the process.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
And something else you mentioned before, I'm just writing down notes of things, because I came in from Detroit, right? So, and I retired in 2006. And you were talking about the organizing focus that you wanted to do. When I get here, after being retired about 10 years, I run into my boss, who's in Elizabeth Bunn.
Yeah, yeah.
He was over the National AFL-CIO organizing. So you brought her in here, and I look up and go to a meeting, and there my boss, ex-boss sitting there, who is over organizing. So I could see where you were implementing what you got through, you know, you just finished talking about, how you were organizing in various capacities, showing how to bring people in. So I'm a witness to that. So.
And you always have to change. I mean, 10 years from now, you shouldn't have the same programs, and you shouldn't do
exactly
it the same way.
Right,
you
right.
constantly
right.
have to be evolving.
Right.
And I think this moment in time, I don't care who's in the White House, but the mood of the American public is to support unions because they're not getting their fair piece of the pie.
Right, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. And I think whether it's 5 years or 10 years, there's going to be a major overhaul in labor law.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be easier for workers to join a union and exercise mm-hmm. their rights mm-hmm. to get a piece of the wealth of this country. Mm-hmm. And we as affiliates and as the AFL-CIO, as a united labor movement, have to be prepared for that.
Yes.
And you're right.
Yes.
We have to open the doors
yes.
and help pave a way in order to help facilitate that.
That's right.
So you are so correct. Okay. So those of you who have just joined us, you're listening to the Coalition of Black Trade Unions segment of Labor Radio. We highlight the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. And our guest tonight is Tom Chamberlain, the recently retired president of the AFL-CIO. So again, Tom, I really want to thank you for coming in. Throughout my years being a union activist, one of my observations of another accomplishment that you were able to create was to bring the bonds between private sector and public sector unions to the point to where they you help them create some common variances because they do business so differently mm-hmm. and sometimes there's a bit of competition that goes on, so it's not an easy thing to do. How were you able to do that?
Well, I read your question, and so I've been thinking about it all day, and I think there's three steps to it.
Mm-hmm.
One is, if you run the federation, you have to be in constant communication with your leadership. And that means you go to the leadership. These are busy people, right? Mm-hmm. So you have that open dialogue, and there has to be, between the affiliates and who's ever running the AFL-CIO, it's based on trust. Mm-hmm. If they don't trust you, you can't do anything.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And then that leads into the second piece, which is, I've never thrown anybody under the bus. And when I say that, it means, let's take the environmental issues. Mm-hmm. We're all environmentalists. We all
right.
want some type of cap
right.
and trade. But if
right,
you're in the
right.
private sector and the building trades, and more importantly, the manufacturing trades,
right.
cap and trade done wrong will cost your members hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Right.
Yeah.
So this last cap and trade legislation, the Oregon legislature, included strong labor standards. And that's mm-hmm. because Graham Traynor and Barbara Byrd
mm-hmm.
sat down with all the unions, public and private, and what can we live with? And
sure,
the goal
right.
was
gotcha.
We were never going to get to the point where we were comfortable saying we support this because we had too many private sector unions.
Right.
The
right.
goal was to put enough labor standards in there that folks wouldn't oppose it.
Right.
And as
gotcha.
It turned out, the building trades looked at it and go, we're going to support it, and
nice.
Surprised
Sweet.
Everyone. But it's that communications, that trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the second piece is, they have more alike than not alike. I mean, right. Their goals are all the same. They want to do right by their members. They want them to have, a good upper middle class lifestyle. And they want good benefits and retirement security. And they want to send their kids either to become apprentices or go to college, whatever. But they want a better life for their kids.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's all the same. So developing programs that they all can buy into, whether it was organizing or politics or legislation. We have a extremely strong legislative program, mm-hmm. or a community program with labor and community folks through Oregon Strong Voice. It didn't matter if you're public or private, you can buy into that.
Right.
And so it's having sort of realizing that 25% of our membership are in the building trades. And when you add the building trades to it, 48% of our members are in the private sector and the rest are in the public sector.
Okay.
So, what else can I say? So I'm going to trail off a little bit, and I want to thank you for our new president, Graham Traynor. We had, in the Oregon CBTU, we had a conference here, and some folks came from Region 10. And I've had an opportunity now to see Graham as my president. He's impressing my socks off, Tom. And there's, you have a way, okay, so I'm African American, Methodist Episcopal, and you could come to my church and preach any Sunday, and Graham's got that, and I don't mean to kind of fashion it, but there's a, it just brings you in and makes you feel welcome, and next thing you know, you can't stop yourself from the enthusiasm, you know. And so that was excellent, you know. He has, and I'm being able to see a different side of him as his knowledge and his passion and his care for this organization.
Mm-hmm. It's big shoes to fill.
His feet are much bigger than mine. let me just say something about Graham and my philosophy. Number one, I always believe in building my bench. I'm always looking for that person, whether it's an entry-level position or what, can they go to the next level, right? So I may have somebody who's more qualified, but if I see someone like Alma Rhea, the organizer, or Jess, who's the legislative director, or Graham, or anybody on my staff, I'm going to hire the one that's got the passion. I'm going to hire the one that, you know, maybe they go into that interview and they show me a little bit of themselves. And Graham brings you in because Graham shows that he's vulnerable.
That's right.
When he gives a speech, he tells a little bit about himself. Mm-hmm. He shows he's vulnerable. And then that leads into him talking about why he cares about this movement.
Yep.
And when any union leader can touch that, there's a common bond.
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm.
And it actually, you can see it in people's faces. And what I have always found exciting over the years is when you're giving a speech or a presentation and you make that bond with folks, it's infectious. You can look at people and then go to somebody else and just feel it build.
Right.
And that's what the labor movement's about. And that's what Graham has, and that's what Jess has. Yes. And Graham is going to be a great leader, and he's going to take us to levels I haven't even imagined. My job is to build a foundation. His job is to build the first story of the house, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just say that, just to be another witness to the fact that our president have us have CBTU tables at various events. And if Graham is there, you don't have to worry about going to Graham. He's coming over there, giving you a big hug.
That's great.
Hey, Union sister.
Yeah.
I said, you know. Yeah. So, you know, you see it in his, and that works.
Mm-hmm.
When you go up to people and speak to them before they come to you chasing you down or whatever, he always give you that.
Yes,
and so that
does.
To be in leadership, you got to have that for people.
Yes,
a love, compassion for people. But before I go into my next question, I want to know, what are you doing in your retirement?
Well,
just tell me some of the things that's eating up all your 24-hour days.
I went with my two best friends last weekend to New York for 4 days. So that was
okay.
exciting. My wife and I went on a road trip and got caught in snowstorms and all kinds of bad weather. We went to Mount Rushmore.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing a lot of things around the house. And then mid-month, I'm flying back to D.C. It's like my third trip in 3 months to talk to President Trumpka and his chief of staff. We're developing a mentor program where I can go out and talk to state presidents and large CLC folks.
All right, you guys, look for Tom coming
on
the
Well, this is great. So I know a moment ago we had kind of a love fest for the AFL, for the Oregon AFL-CIO, and I do really would like to do a shout out to Russell Sanders,
who is
the communications director for the Oregon AFL-CIO. He has a new podcast, and it's a monthly one, and it's called The Voice of Oregon's Workers. And it, in fact, I listened to your interview with him, and I was really impressed in that he beckoned you to talk about the things, to talk about your passion that you've had for the 14 years being the president of the AFL-CIO, and kind of crescendoed at the end, talking about all of the accomplishments that you were able to do and how you changed the structure. And so I'd like to remind our listeners that if you want to find out more about the Voice of Oregon Workers, check out the AFL-CIO webpage. And then that way you will have a better idea of when the new one comes along. But you really, really should check it out.
One more nosy question.
Yeah.
Okay. I know you left a daughter working. Tell me about what she's doing. I know she's not doing nothing
she's
at all.
She's tearing
she?
It up, too.
I can imagine.
My daughter, Stacy Chamberlain, is the executive director of Council 75.
Oh, yeah.
And they've become, I think they're the premier union in the state right now. And since I'm not head of the Fed, we got a lot of premiers. We got a lot of premiers, but I'm just
Rodriguez,
watching.
Jaime's
going to be great.
And come on, Amy.
But I mean, I'm just going on organizing. In the last 12 months, they've organized almost 1,400 workers.
Nice.
Fantastic.
That is
fantastic.
Amazing.
Yes, it is.
And a lot of that in the private sector and behavioral health, OHSU.
Right.
You know, they got 800 doctors that signed
cards.
And I just want to, this may be my last opportunity to do this. I just want to thank all the folks that have helped me through the years. Mm-hmm. And I've had some tough spots. My affiliate leaders. Barbara Bird, my podna, my secretary treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
And folks don't understand this, but you have the best staff of any state federation in the country. They do things that big affiliates can't do. The Fix the Gap campaign.
Yeah.
The
yes.
component we had with the trucks and the flash mm-hmm. mobs and coordinating with Al. Mm-hmm. There are very few state feds that can pull that off, and our staff did mm-hmm. that standing on their head.
Yeah.
That was amazing to me.
Well, great. Well, okay. Well, it's that time of the show where we have to say adios. But before we do, I'd like to remind our listeners that normally our Coalition of Black Trade Unionists meetings are the second Tuesday of every month. But this month, it's going to be the third Tuesday. It will happen on November 18, and we'll meet at 6 o'clock at the American Federation State County Municipal Employees William Lucy Building, located at 6025 East Burnside. Come on out and check us out. Again, I want to thank Tom for the wonderful job that you have done.
Thanks.
And thank you for coming back again. And I look forward to seeing some wonderful things happen in this mentor program that you're going to be helping President Trumka with.
Thank you.
Please come back to some of our shows.
Anytime.
And pull our coats and tell us no, don't do that, or yes, do that. because we appreciate your leadership.
Well, thank you.
We're taking a part of you with us in all the things we do. And we really want to look you in the face and say thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you, Barbara Bird, if you're listening. You two were, and I don't think we would be sitting here.
Right.
I cannot not address that.
Yeah.
That's right.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
That was Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
So yes, that was Labor Radio. Up next is Prison Pipeline.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Stop the Climate Crisis and War on Tuesday, November 5th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Augustana Lutheran Church in Portland. Stop the Climate Crisis and War is a forum and panel discussion which will link the issues of climate change and war, update the community on U.S. belligerence in Iran and Venezuela, focus on the U.S.'s role in the war on Yemen and presence in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, and more. Again, that's Stop the Climate Crisis and War on Tuesday, November 5th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Augustana Lutheran Church, 2710 Northeast 14th Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Sometimes you see that I'm mad. Don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. My name is Emma Lugo and I'm a co-host here on Prison Pipeline. I am so excited tonight. We have Oregon DA for the People in studio. We have Madeline Carroll with Standing Up for Racial Justice, Terrence Hayes with Liberation Literacy, and Donna Hayes with Pacific Northwest Families.
Circle.
Thank you. Welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Thanks so much for having us on.
Thank you. So let's start with you, Madeline. Can you tell us what Oregon DA for the People is about?
Absolutely. So we really got started as a project between Surge Showing Up for Racial Justice, Portland, and Pacific Northwest Family Circle. And we are focusing on putting pressure on district attorneys to... It started out as a campaign to hold them accountable for holding police accountable for police violence. Pacific Northwest Family Circle is a coalition of families who have all lost loved ones to police violence. And so that's how we got started. That's kind of the seed of the campaign. And as we learned more about the powers of the district